Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
The prayer is, God, thank you for singleness. Thank you for today. Remind me right now in this moment that I'm not a burden, I'm a blessing.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and this one today is for the single girlies, the ones who are convinced that their life is over because they haven't met Mr. Right yet. You are in for a real treat today. Ryan Wickeman is here to share all about singleness, overcoming temptation, how not to get in our head and dream up fantasies, and navigating awkward conversations. So without further ado, let's hop in. Welcome to the podcast, Ryan. How are you?
Doing great, Brittany. Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor. I've been looking forward to this one.
Yes, I'm so excited. I feel like this is such a timely topic for so many people, especially like coming out of Valentine's Day and the holiday season. And that's just, you know, it probably brings up a lot of emotions for women, especially in the Christian space. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be so good. Before we jump into the topic of singleness, why don't you introduce yourself to anyone that doesn't already know who you are?
Yeah, my name is Ryan Wickeman. I'm the teaching pastor at Red Rocks Austin. And so I'm from Colorado, but moved to Austin, Texas 6 years ago with my brother and our best friend to plant Red Rocks. And we've been having a great time. And recently wrote a book called Single Today that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I was telling Ryan and I were chatting before we started recording, and I'm like, I can't wait to get this book to some of my single friends because I just feel like based on what you told me previous to recording, it's just so needed. Like I feel like there's not a lot of people in that space from your perspective as a pastor, because most pastors, you know, are married. And that kind of like leads me into my next question is like, What has it been like navigating that as a pastor? Like the pressure that probably comes with that, I can imagine. And to be able to stand on that hill and say like, it's not the, like life can begin before this, you know what I mean? Like it can begin well before marriage. What has that dynamic been like?
That is such a good question. And really the question that drove me wanting to write this book, 'cause I've been a single pastor for over a decade now.
Wow.
And it is a very unique space. A lot of pastors, including the two other guys that I planted the church with, got married, you know, in their early 20s. And by the way, before we even get into this, I'm a huge proponent of marriage. I see that on the second page of the Bible, marriage is God's idea. I push people towards marriage. I officiate weddings all the time. I'm all for it. It's just that I'm also all for celebrating singleness and see in the New Testament a lot of space for singleness. And so to answer your question, it's amazing. I absolutely love it. And it is a roller coaster of emotions. And there are amazing times, but there are also lonely times.
Yeah.
There are times where you feel isolated. There are times where, you know, you understand why marriage is such a gift, because it gives you somebody to process life with and all of that. And so I absolutely love being single. And at the exact same time, I'm really well aware and well acquainted with the challenges that come with it.
Yeah, that's so good. And I remember like when I was still in my season of singleness before I met my now husband, and I just felt like my life, I felt as if I didn't have permission to start my life. until I met the one. And I think, I don't know if that's how it feels like for men, but I know for women especially, we feel like we're waiting on so much because, you know, we as women naturally, we want to be a wife. We want to be the girlfriend, the fiance, the wife, then the mother. And we can't have any of that until we meet, you know, our future spouse. And so it's like, it feels like for me, at least, it felt like my whole life was on pause. Could you speak to women and men, if there's any men listening to this episode who are in that season and they feel like, well, you know, I guess I just got to wait until God brings them into my life to really enjoy life. And I'm like, no, there's so much joy to be found even before that. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. That was really well said. And I would start with just affirming that desire that you do have to get married. Again, beautiful. However, I would challenge you that today, if you are single, then that singleness is actually a gift and it's an opportunity, and that you don't have to wait until you're married to begin your ministry. As you were talking, I thought of one of my good friends, Janelle, who I wrote about her in the book. She's has such a heart to be a foster mother. And has always wanted to be married at the same time, and will be one day. But a couple of years ago, she realized, hey, I don't have to wait for permission to follow this other dream that God's placed on my heart. There's kids who need a loving household today. And so a few years ago, she just stepped into that. And for years, she's been doing that so faithfully and so beautifully. And one day when she gets married, she will invite her husband into that journey. But I just love it because it's like she didn't wait for permission. She didn't wait for marriage to step into what God has for her.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I mean, I applaud her. I don't even know this girl. And I'm like, I applaud her because it does, it takes a level of like, oh, wait, like this is a calling God has placed on my life. And I have permission to fully step into that even without my future spouse. And
wow,
that's even adoption, you know, is I've seen, I actually personally know a mom who was, she's also a foster mom, and she ended up going on to adopt two of those children. And just watching her navigate that as a mom of three is just like, you go, girl. Like, and God's anointing is all over her entire family. And it's so beautiful to watch. But so I think beautiful. Too, another thing that can really happen when you're in that season of singleness is a lot of temptation. You know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think very quickly we can be tempted by all the lustful things of this world, you know, whether that's pornography, sexual sin, sleeping with someone before marriage, like whatever that case may be. And the enemy can quickly come in and tempt us with those things, you know. Could you maybe speak to how, what it's like navigating that? And what are some practical things that you've done as a pastor who's experienced those feelings? You know, we're all human. Some practical tips and advice to a single woman that's listening on how to withhold and withstand that.
That's so good. The equation that Jesus gives us is always grace and truth, right? And so with grace and truth, realizing one, first and foremost, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then two, that God has more for us. And I've had to learn in my own life to use that equation, because when I don't start with the grace, the shame that I feel just makes me spiral so much that I don't have any inner healing, and I don't allow the spirit to heal, because I'm just caught in this like shame cycle. And so to me, it starts with realizing that, thank God, because of the grace of God, there is no condemnation for us. Now from there, let's get really honest about what we're trying to medicate by being by gravitating towards these things, like what are the feelings down deep that we're trying to numb? For me, I'm on a constant search for validation in my life, just like every other human. And so like that temptation is not there for me as long as things are going really well. As long as ministry is going really well, as long as I have a good community, all of that. But when I preach a bad sermon, you know, or I have a tough pastoral meeting, or I start to feel like I'm not doing a good enough job, those are the moments I have to be really aware that I'm so susceptible to temptation. And I say all that to say this, I didn't realize that until I first allowed the grace to get the shame out of the way, to be able to do some of the inner work to go, oh, like I'm just trying to medicate right now. And so now when those feelings come up, and they certainly do, I do my best to go, oh, I'm doing that thing again, where I'm searching for validation from a counterfeit version of the beautiful gift of sex that God created and intended for marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And so I, over the years, have had to very imperfectly learn how to, with both grace and truth, put sex back into the proper category of what it is, which is a beautiful gift God intended for a married couple to practice and to enjoy. So that's like a, that's a very quick, I mean, such a deep question, but I did my best to summarize it. Does that make any sense?
Oh my gosh. Yes. It makes so much sense. And for me, like my testimony is that, was living in the world, fully in the world, fully trying to find, you know, my validation from men, as most women that don't have Jesus do in today's world. And when I encountered Jesus, sexual sin was the last thing to go. It was the absolute last root to be uprooted from my heart, because it had so deeply embedded in me, and it was my identity, because it was how I was getting validation. I was, I felt seen, I felt loved. I'm doing quotations for everyone that's listening. I felt, you know, heard in that moment. But then the brokenness that came after was just, you know, there's no words for that. Yeah. And what I didn't realize was that brokenness I was feeling was conviction from the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I eventually got to the point, after repenting and getting set free from that spirit of lust, I got to the point where I realized, when I met my husband, you know, we abstained from sex until marriage and did it the right way, praise God. But in those moments that got hard and got heated, even once you find your person, like, that temptation doesn't get any easier. If we're being honest, it's very real, especially when you love someone. And we had several moments where we realized that the conviction that would hit us after, if we had messed up and gone all the way, it just broke my heart to even think that I was going to be breaking the Lord's heart. And so, as silly and cliche as that sounds, like, when you have the Holy Spirit and you feel that conviction, even in singleness, of like, you know, yes, I could go down that path, but what lies on the other side of it is not even worth who Jesus is and what he has to offer us. And I think maybe for new believers, that's hard for them to wrap their mind around, because they've probably experienced the physical things. And they're like, but how can this Jesus that I can't see, like, how can he truly, you know, fix that void in my heart? But he really does. And the more that you walk with him, the more you experience his love and his grace and his mercy, you're like, oh, I only want that.
That's it. Yeah, I heard somebody say recently, your strongest desires are not your deepest desires.
Wow.
Right. So that temptation, right, and sexual urges and all of that, it's a very strong desire, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's your deepest desire. It's not your deepest desire. Your deepest desire is to be, I would say, fully known and fully loved, to realize that God loves you, that you are worthy, that you are enough. All of those things exist at a deeper level. And so I think helpful to remind yourself, as difficult as it is, like, in the moment, to remind yourself that just because this feels like a strong desire, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's deep. But I would also just add to that, that's why community is so important. Mm-hmm. And not isolating is so important. And things like confession. And I mean that in not like I mean that in like the sense of having people in your life that you can call and talk to, not in a legalistic way, but in a loving way. All of those things help just tremendously to have people in your life who will give you grace and also call you to truth at the exact same time.
Yeah. My husband and I were recording a podcast last night, and there was a question brought up about, it's a couple, they were dating, and she said, we both love Jesus, but we're tangled in this mess of sexual sin. Like, what do we do? Yeah. And it's just such a hard question to answer, right? Because, like, the Bible says to run from sin, to flee from it, you know, resist the devil and he will flee. But that's just not always possible for some people. And some people want to continue down that path. And I'm like, it's hard for God to bless that. And so I just think it's beautiful, everything that you said, because there is such fruit to be found in his presence. And when you see that and you recognize that and you encounter that, it's like, okay, this is all just, it's a counterfeit.
Counterfeit connection that yes. looks so much like the real thing, right? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and like pornography is the easy example of that. Mm-hmm. Like we all know it's a very, very clearly a counterfeit version of this thing that you have a desire for. But in the moment, it tricks your mind into thinking it's actually the connection that you're searching for, or, you know, hookup culture, or moving too quickly, going too quickly through that progression of like, look, falling in love with somebody and, learning about somebody and pursuing them and sharing dreams with somebody and committing to somebody geographically and emotionally mm-hmm. and financially and then physically is such a beautiful progression that God gave us. And yet it's so easy to like try to force all of that into a couple hours, you know, meet yeah. somebody out downtown or whatever and try to, and it feels like you're experiencing that until you obviously realize that it didn't sustain you or fulfill you the way that you wanted. So you have to keep going back to it. It's a really tough process.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, I mean, I'm sure it's been one of the beautiful things of being single for, you said 10 years, correct?
I've been, single pastor for 10 years. Yep.
Yeah. Like being a single pastor for 10 years, I'm sure you've seen and learned so much. Like even just hearing you say like, there's a process and the process is beautiful. Like, let's not try to fit it all in one coffee date and get married the first week you meet. I mean, that people do it, right? And God can bless that if that's your calling. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think I see that so much where people do try to, or they even, you know, I was listening to one of your episodes and you talked about how we can dream up these ideas in our head of almost like we start fantasizing about like, oh, like I have a crush on this guy or this girl. And then, you know, you see them with someone else and you're mad because of this idea that you dreamed up in your head that's really not reality.
Yeah.
I feel like women do that. We do that a lot. And which, I mean, I know I did that with my husband. Luckily for me, it worked out. But I think we just, we're naturally, as women, we're dreamers. And we, you know, like I kind of said already, we want the family and the house and the kids. And we meet a guy that we think is cute or we have a, you know, a connection with. And we're like, that's my future husband after the first coffee date. And sometimes it works out. Other times it's a little crazy.
Yeah.
And I've been the crazy too. Like I've been both. And so could you maybe speak to that? Like that just... why we shouldn't, or we should try not to go down that rabbit hole of fantasizing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll start with like the imagination that we have is God given, right? That's a beautiful thing. And it allows us to create everything that we create as humans. Like that is a good thing. It can also be dangerous. Like Paul says, take every thought captive, or he says, don't be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Like our mind is the starting place for so much of spiritual formation, which is a fancy way of saying becoming more like Jesus. And so it is really important that we think about what we think about, and that we watch those thoughts, because like what I observe as a pastor of a young church where most people are single, or a lot of people are single, is there is so much pressure now on dating. And that has been created by both men and women. It feels like there's like two, like an overinflated balloon, you know, that is like, it needs some air let out of it. Like we all need to exhale a little bit, because on both sides, guys tend to not be pursuing women as much, the numbers are saying. And so there's kind of a supply and demand thing going on. There's a scarcity of good guys pursuing girls. And so when it does happen, oftentimes, and I'm speaking in very broad statements here. Sometimes what happens is there's way too much pressure put on that coffee date. And it's almost like we have to like decide if we're going to get married by the time we finish our Americano or whatever, you know? And then all of a sudden it's like this thing that was supposed to be fun turns into this like very high stakes situation. And then onto that, that all of her friends are going to know how it went and all of his friends are going to know how it went within, you know, like 5 minutes. And all of a sudden you feel like you're at this like job interview. Really this thing, this dating thing that was supposed to be an enjoyable experience. I don't know. I just feel like we put a lot of pressure on that, and that all comes back to watching our mind and making sure that these narratives we're creating are congruent with reality. And again, the best way to do that is to have community and to have people that we are talking through these things with, and people who will speak into your life.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, with my friend that has been single, she's been on dates before, and she always asks us like, hey, like, what are your thoughts on this? What are you? And I'm like, I told her one time, I said, hey, like, we can say what we think about this situation, but ultimately, like, it needs to be between you and God. And obviously the other guy, it needs to be like, yes, it's beautiful to share with community, but I think sometimes it can get noisy. Like it can get really noisy really quick where you no longer even know what your heart wants or what the Lord's telling you, because you're trying to seek all these opinions. And it's just a very messy dating right now, is so with all the dating apps. And then it's, you know, that makes it really easy to, well, what's the next best thing and the next best thing? Like, this is a good thing and sure, he's cute, but like maybe there's better out there, you know? Or even men, I'm sure men go through that where they're just swipe, 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 swipe. And it can just be very toxic. And it's like, the sad part is I don't see it going away. Like, that's just kind of the way that everything is going. And so, yeah, I could totally see how when, you know, from a woman's perspective, when a good guy comes around, there is so much pressure because you're like, oh, there's not any more left in the sea. Like, he's the only fish left. Yeah. When he's not, obviously, but I can see how that, you know, and dating is meant to be fun. Yeah, dating's meant to be fun.
Right? Put the fun back in dating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I completely agree, because it's not going to change. And so we have to learn how to pivot and adjust to this new world that we live in, where our phones are training us to have an unlimited amount of options for everything. And so, that's reality. That's not going to change. Now, what does it look like to set up healthy boundaries and healthy parameters and like define who we want to be? I think that's if you are single listening to this right now, asking yourself the question, hey, who do I want to be as a single person? And what are some rules and some guidelines that I can write down today, like now? And then this week, as I go into this weekend, maybe have a date, maybe don't, whatever, I'm going to stick to those rules that I wrote down when I'm in a good place of like having a quiet time and praying. I think that is going to become increasingly important as we continue to head into this world that is, the world is a very crazy place, and it's becoming increasingly so. So yes, we just have to just be on guard, right? And be alert and know who God created us to be, and then double down on that narrative.
Yeah. Amen. No, that's so good. Yeah, it is. What a wild time to be alive. I say that all the time, like, what a time to be alive. But you know, it is crazy. And I think sometimes it can feel like women are just trying to survive, you know, when God actually wants us to thrive. He doesn't, this is a cliche saying that I have, but like, God doesn't want us to just survive. He wants us to thrive. And he does. Like, he wants us to enjoy life on this earth with him. Is it going to be hard? And is there going to be persecution? Absolutely. But he wants us to also, you know, walk in the spirit and enjoy the fruits of the spirit. And I think for women, especially when you've been on this journey for some time, maybe a year, maybe multiple years, you start kind of feeling like, you know, down in the dumps, if we're just being real, like you start feeling a little sad. You see everyone around you getting engaged or meeting their boyfriend or getting married and then moving on with life. And you kind of feel like you're stuck on this little island of singleness and you feel like you're just trying to survive. So could you maybe speak into what it is and what it looks like to actually thrive in the singleness and learn to just truly be content with Jesus? As you know, again, cliche, that might sound cliche to some, like I'm dating Jesus.
Yeah,
you can,
yeah, yeah.
You can go on dates and not meet your future husband and also be fully content with where he has you now. But yeah, I'm sure you've got a lot of insight and I'm sure this is going to encourage someone listening.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me that I've noticed is really the two enemies that will steal that contentment and that ability to thrive and put you into survival mode are yesterday and tomorrow. So it's the past and the future. Let's start with the past. It's the shame and the regret and the one that got away and the I shouldn't have sent that text, or I should have sent that text, or I shouldn't have said this thing. And it's the ruminating and replaying on repeat and wishing you could just have a time machine and go back to 6 months ago to figure that thing out. All of that is doing is putting you into survival mode today. When in reality, Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life today and people for you to love today. That's the first enemy, right? Is the past. The second is worrying about the future. To your point, all of my friends are getting married. Am I going to be single the rest of my life? Am I running out of time? Oh, wait, now they're celebrating 5 years. Now they're celebrating 10 years. You know, now they're having kids. Now their kids are going to school. Like all of these thoughts about the future pull us out of thriving right where we're at. So Jesus said things like, don't worry about tomorrow. Like just be present today. And it is like the most quoted verse ever, but none of us do it. Like we all roll our eyes at it and then we keep worrying about tomorrow. And I just like my whole heart behind this whole project, the Single Today Project, is helping people realize that right here, right now, in front of you, there are people to love and there is purpose for you to walk in. And when you, what I've noticed in my life is when I'm starting to move into survival mode, I typically am thinking about myself an awful lot. And so when you just intentionally put that down and go do something nice for somebody else, or go encourage somebody else, or go love somebody else, or go meet a tangible need in your community, or serve, or whatever it is, when you get your eyes off yourself and start getting them onto other people, it really does help ground you in today and help you be present with the neighbors and the people who are in your life. Because when you don't do that, you start thinking about the significant other that you don't have instead of having your eyes open to the people right in front of you. So that was a lot.
No, I'm speechless. Cause that was like, I've never thought of it that way. That's so beautifully put, because when you are in your singleness and you are feeling sad, it's because you're probably sitting and dwelling and thinking about, woe is me, this is what I don't have. When if you actually go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus, like he's going to meet you there and he's going to help you fill that void that, you know, is also a desire, but it's also somewhat of a void that Jesus wants to fill. And we can fill that by going where he wants us to go and being and doing the things that he needs us to do. So that's so good.
Yeah. You look at Paul in the Bible, that's just what he was doing. He was just playing offense. And he was a fan of marriage, but in his own life was like, it's not something that is for me. And the reason is because he was playing so much offense for the kingdom of heaven. And now I'm not saying that you have to be single the rest of your life at all. But I am saying today, if you are single, your singleness is a gift for today. And you may meet someone tomorrow. You may meet somebody as you go out today and start running your race. But right here, right now, in this moment, if you are single, you have a gift and an opportunity sitting right in front of you to take advantage of the advantages of being single instead of just trying to cope with the disadvantages of being single.
Wow. That's so good. That's so good. I had Holy Spirit, I feel like, just dropped this question in my heart, and I wasn't planning on going this direction at all. But what about for the people that are maybe staying single because they're struggling with the sin of homosexuality and they're struggling with, I know I have this in my heart. I know that God can free me from it. He hasn't freed me from it yet. I don't want to act on it. So I'm just going to be single for as long as I'm wrestling with this. What would you say to that? Like, I don't know if there's someone that's going to be listening to this episode that they need just encouragement in this, that they're not alone, that there's other people out there that are going through this. Yeah. That came out of nowhere, and I just want to be obedient and speak that.
Yeah.
So what would you say just to encourage them in that?
I would say that I'm sorry that we have not created a more robust and beautiful picture of what singleness can be.
Yeah.
And all, like, we can go John the Baptist, we think was single. Like, there was no Mrs. Baptist that I see when I read the Gospels. Martha, who the way that she led her household in the first century, most scholars believe that at that time she was single and she was hosting Jesus's like most important nights of ministry, like living on purpose. And then, of course, like we've already talked about, Jesus was single, Paul was single. This single space, there is so much opportunity in it. And I would say, I think that the Holy Spirit gives an extra grace to single people. In the same way, by the way, that he gives an extra grace to moms and to dads and to married couples. There's a special, I just think that the Holy Spirit meets us in our singleness in a really unique way, because it can be so lonely and it can feel so isolated. And so I think I stand out. I'm at my house right now. I stand out in my front yard every morning and pray that anybody who is single today and feeling isolated or lonely would just feel God's presence in a really tangible way. So I think that would be my answer, and my prayer is that you would, whoever is listening or watching this, would feel God's presence in a very tangible, special way today.
Yes, that's so good. So good. Yeah, I feel like that just encouraged somebody that's listening and they're like, what about me? You're not alone, and God wants to meet you right where you are, and he can and he will. So my last question is actually like being the third wheel. I feel like when you're single and you got everyone around you that is dating, married, about to be married, whatever the case may be, they're always like, hey, you should go to dinner with us. Hey, go to the movies with us. And you're like, I want to, but I also feel like this is awkward. I don't want to feel like a burden. What would you like? How have you navigated that? Like, what are some practical ways to actually enjoy being the third wheel and not feel like the odd man out, so to say?
So it's the story of my life, because so many of my friends are married. And what I love about my community is they embrace my singleness, and we have open dialogue about it, and we make lots of jokes about it. And like, I'm present in their kids' lives, I'm present in their lives. I go to so many like kids' birthday parties, you know, because like they just treat me like they don't treat me any different. But we've had to work hard to get there. We've had to be very intentional about that, because when you're not, you just feel like the third wheel is going to take this thing down. And I have like two people going out to dinner, that's a date. Four people is a group date. Three people is a married couple and one awkward single person joining them, right? Like it can create this awkward tension, especially when like you get to the restaurant and the waiter just comes by and is like, oh, are you waiting on one more? You know, like I always have to be like, no, just, it'll just be me. And what happens in that moment is it's really natural as the third wheel to feel very uncomfortable. And when you feel uncomfortable, oftentimes you just start talking about yourself. And it's like you're trying to like dig your way out of this hole that you perceive yourself being in. And what I've had to learn to do and get really mindful about this is to realize that I don't have to be a burden to this conversation. I can actually be a blessing. Like, the ball is actually in my court here to turn it back on them and start asking them some really good questions about their life and about their marriage and about each other and what God's teaching them. Like, you almost become like the orchestra. What's the person that leads the orchestra? The conductor. You start to become the conductor of this conversation as like the odd one out. And this is true if there's three people, if there's five people, if there's seven people, everyone's kind of looking to you. And so you start just like conducting. That's a good picture. I'm gonna
think about that. That's actually like a great analogy. I've never thought of that, but it's so true. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe I might do a podcast episode on that one day.
I think you just came up with a new podcast episode.
We did. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's so true. Like I can see both sides. Like, whereas, you know, like I'm looking at my past when I was a third wheel and there were so many moments where I just felt awkward and I was like, just say something, Brittany, like just say anything. And then you just start word vomiting and you're like, why did I say that? Like, this is so, and then you just feel even more awkward and you're like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And you just need to like leave to collect yourself for a minute because you're so, you get so in your head about it. And the comments like, will there be someone else? I remember those days too, when I was like, nope, just me. Thanks for reminding me. And yeah.
It's wild. I went to the amount of times I've traveled by myself and said table for one and had people stare at me like, are you sure? Like just table. It's probably why I became a writer, because I just carry a journal around with me everywhere. So I have something to do. But you start to realize that you actually aren't a burden, you're a blessing. Mm-hmm. And this is the amount of times I've sat in my car before walking into the restaurant. And the prayer is, God, thank you for singleness. Thank you for today. Remind me right now in this moment that I'm not a burden, I'm a blessing.
Wow.
That prayer right there will change your entire evening. Like someone needs to do that this evening as you're heading to wherever you're heading to. Stay in the car for an extra minute. Remind yourself that you didn't miss God's call on your life. You haven't messed everything up. He's got you right where he wants you to be for today. And you're not a burden, you're a blessing. And so walk into that restaurant and be a blessing.
That just set someone free. That's what a beautiful way to end the podcast episode. I'm like, that is so good. And that God can also turn things around, you know, if they feel like they feel that feeling of burden, you know, or they feel that shame because maybe they messed a past relationship up. Like God can redeem anything. Like, and he's working all things together for the good of those who love him. Like that scripture right there, when I think of like my, cause you know, we all have a past, we've all got things in our past outside of relationship things. I've got things. And there's so many times where the devil will try to say, you're such a burden. Like, look at your past, look at that shame. And I'm like, no, because God is working things together for the good of those who love him. And I just have to remember that. And then the God, thank you that I'm a blessing, not a burden. Like, that's so beautiful. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. You wrote a book. So can you tell us all about it and then just tell everyone where they can find all of that information and find you as well?
Yeah, the book's called Single Today. And it's all about facing those two enemies of singleness, right? So healing from the past, healing from yesterday, and surrendering tomorrow to be present today and step into the purpose and calling God has in your life. So you don't just have to survive while you're single, you can actually thrive. And so that's available wherever books are sold. My website, ryanweckeman.com, has the updates. And I have a podcast going with it called the Single Today Podcast on the YouTube channel. And then I post all that on Instagram. Ryan Weckeman is just the handle.
Awesome. Well, I will leave all of the information down in the show notes below for everyone.
Brittany, thank you so much for everything that you do. This is such an important space that you are creating, and you are phenomenal at it. And so
thank you. I'm so glad we got to connect.
It's great.
Thank you so much. I wish I could have had a conversation like that previous to meeting my husband, because it would have shown me that you can, in fact, where God has you right now, today, that we don't have to worry and stress over what's to come, and that we can trust that he is a good, good father who wants us to live in the fullness of what's here and now. If today blessed you in any way, please leave a review or share this with a friend in need. As always, thank you so much for stopping in, and I will see you guys in the next episode.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.